Hey, welcome to the Strongpreneur Podcast. My name is Tom Reber. Today, my guest is Tammy Helfrich. She is the host of the Right Where You Are podcast, and today we talk about people who despise the thought of being average in their life, because that's really what a strongpreneur is. It's somebody who chases greatness, welcomes risk, enriches the lives of others, and that's exactly the type of person that Tammy is. In this episode, we're going to talk about what she calls strategic readiness. That's getting your life in a position to where when something's calling you to make a change, that you're ready, that you don't have any excuses to hold you back. We talk about why having a big master plan isn't always what's needed to make a change in your life, and that also that why being miserable is not the only reason to change careers. And then finally, we talk about her biggest piece of advice for entrepreneurs. So go ahead and grab your earbuds. Grab a cold drink or a cup of coffee or your beverage of choice. Kick back, listen to Tammy Helfrich on the Strongpreneur Podcast. And when you're done, do us a favor, head over to iTunes and click a rating for us so that we can continue to have an impact on more and more people. Motor hard and enjoy this episode of the Strongpreneur Podcast. I'm now publicly apologizing for having to reschedule on you. We were going to do this a few weeks ago, and then I dropped the ball, and then you went out of town. Where'd you go?
I went to Haiti, a country that you are very familiar with and love.
I am. What were you doing down there?
So I actually went, we have been partnering with an organization that does clean water filtration systems in the remote mountains of Haiti. And so I went to see what their organization looks like on the ground and spent the week in the mountains in the Pastel region of Haiti and just basically rocked my world and changed my life. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've been to Haiti 4 times. And those of you that are listening that don't know the story, one of my kids is adopted. He's from Haiti. And so I've been there 4 times, my wife and I have, and all that. So I know we just kind of jumped right into the Haiti thing there and where you were at. But why don't you, you've had an interesting last, 5 to 6, 8 years. I don't know what it really is. Can you take a moment and maybe introduce yourself and help us to get to know you a little bit?
Sure. So yeah, it's been a kind of crazy few years for me. So I have always been in corporate America. So I was in sales and worked for all different kinds of companies, but most recently was working with a Fortune 500 company selling supply management solutions. And probably about 5 years ago, I think you're about right, I really started to feel like some things kind of changing in me and started kind of reading more and getting involved with people who were talking about dreaming and just really trying to look for the passions of what you really wanted to do. And through that process, I just met some incredible people and really still, you know, was doing my job and doing great at it. I had a really great job, made good money, was good, really good at what I did, but just felt like this pull that there was more to me and to my life than what I was doing. So my husband and I started getting really serious about something that my pastor calls strategic readiness, which is basically just preparing yourself for whatever is coming. Which is a really scary thing because I had no idea what it looked like. I just knew I was going to make some changes. And so we just started preparing. We started kind of simplifying and paying things off and just, you know, being in a better position so that we could make a move. And throughout the process, I started writing again and blogging and really discovered a love that I had that I had forgotten that I had had. People would always tell me that I was very clear in my thoughts and how I wrote. And I just never equated that to the fact that I used to love to write when I was younger. Mm. It's funny how we forget those things. And so I started blogging. I did my first little ebook and then decided to start a podcast called Right Where You Are. And it's really just about making a difference right where you are and living differently. And Tom was actually one of my first guests, I think episode number 2, maybe. on my podcast. And so I've been doing that. I'm about 78 episodes in now. And then a year ago, I made the decision to actually finally leave corporate America and actually went on staff at our church, which is something I said I would never, ever do. But it was just a way for me to explore some of the passions that I had of really building community and helping people serve others within our community and really connecting people, which is one of my strengths. And it's been a kind of a crazy ride over the last year, but it's been really, really good. And I feel like I'm kind of fully coming into myself for the first time in a really long time.
Wow, I have so much that I want to touch on there, and I couldn't write fast enough. So I first want to start by just letting everyone know why I asked you to come on to the Strongpreneur podcast, because most, if not all of my guests up until this point have been people that have gone out and started these businesses that are doing crazy things, and you don't actually have a business right now.
Right.
So what I wanted to make sure that everyone understood and is how I define a strongpreneur. See, a strongpreneur to me is somebody who despises the thought of being average. It's somebody who chases greatness in whatever area of their life. They welcome risk into their life. They recover quickly when they get knocked down. They live a life that enriches others and their work adds value to people. And like you and I were talking before I hit record on this, I once heard somebody describe an entrepreneur as somebody who moves humanity forward. And so that's why I wanted you to be on the Strongpreneur podcast, because I thought you'd be a great fit, because you're living that. And I've watched you live it over the last several years. There's the reason that I asked you to be on. So how, you know, you mentioned that you had this pull going on in you. How long was that pull of just something wasn't right or whatever inside you? How long was that going on?
Gosh, it's hard to say. I mean, definitely a couple years. And it was just something that I just started to explore. And so, you know, for us, when I first started feeling it, there was no way we could make a change. I mean, just due to financial circumstances and kind of where our kids were and that kind of thing, like there was no way I was leaving my job and the great job that I had. So it was kind of a little bit of experimenting to see. And, honestly, it's a really frustrating process. I was just talking to this with someone the other day about this, and it can feel really weird when you're doing it, because you have, you know, in all outward appearances to most people, like I had it made. I had a really great job with great benefits and all the security and, things that we're told that we're supposed to strive for. But the best way that I describe it is that quote, and I always forget to look up who actually said it, but I just came to a point in my life where I felt like I had been climbing the ladder and I woke up and realized it was against the wrong wall. Yep. And so, you know, it was because it was like I had done pretty much, you know, what I had kind of set out to do as far as a career had gone. And I just was feeling like I wasn't being true to who I was as a person anymore.
So how earlier you mentioned strategic readiness. Describe that a little bit. What does that mean?
Yeah, so it's, you know, a lot of times we talk about the name's escaping me, but just basically like strategic planning, you know, planning out your whole life basically. Our friend Scott, my pastor, calls it strategic readiness, because it's more about putting yourself into the position where you can make a move when the time comes. And so, from a faith-based perspective, it's about feeling like when God is asking you to do something that you are ready to move. And from a practical standpoint, it's more about being, you know, simplifying your life and getting out of debt and not having to have such a high income to sustain the way that you're living. You know, I think a lot of us have gone into, you know, gotten ourselves into situations where we have a house that's stretching us and car payments that are stretching us and debt and, you know, all these other things that require us to stay or, you know, make a certain amount of money. And so for us, it was a lot of how do we pay off this debt? How do we, you know, simplify all of these different areas so that eventually knowing that I wasn't going to be making as much money as I was making mm-hmm. and could make a move.
So what did, what kind of conversations were going on inside your head when you were feeling this pull that some things might need to change because the ladder was on the wrong wall? And then you got, you know, the other side. What was going on in your head?
Well, you know, initially it's, well, that's just never going to happen. There's just no way that, you know, that's just not what, that's not what you do. That's not the system that we've kind of bought into. There's the thought of you can't make it on your own. Like, what would you do? You know, in my situation, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I knew I wasn't going to just leave and be a full-time writer right away. So I was thinking, how am I going to make any money? And what am I going to do? I don't have a business idea. How am I ever going to get out of the situation that I've put myself in? And I think, you know, fear is a big thing that you have to really work through and understand that fear is always going to be there. It's just a matter of you learning to recognize it when it shows up in weird ways and be able to talk yourself through that. And, you know, to be able to deal with people who don't understand what you're doing. There are still plenty of people who say, now, not so much now that people see me kind of really being at ease and feeling more free, and that kind of resonates out of me now. But in the beginning, there were a lot of people who said, what are you doing? Like, well, how could you ever leave this dream that most people work towards their whole life? So a lot of doubt. And I feel so fortunate that I've had so many people around me, people like you and people in our circle of friends who were there to help support me and encourage me and to tell me that it's okay to think those things and that you'll get through that.
So when you felt the change was coming, you knew you liked to write and had some other gifts and things like that, but you weren't totally sure exactly what you wanted to do with your life, right?
Right.
So how did you go? What did your process for figuring all that out look like?
Well, for me, it was a lot of discussions with people really close to me. And one thing that kept coming up was, you know, I've always been very involved in my church and served a lot, had some big volunteer roles. And we had, you know, they had always kind of joked like, oh, we would love to have you. And it was always just never an option. I wouldn't even entertain it most of the time. And then we finally got to a point where we said, you know, what they were needing and what I was passionate about were really closely aligned. And so we had to explore it. And so that's what we did. We just said, okay, we're going to just explore this and see what happens. And at least we'll know either way if this is ever an option or not. And as we started exploring that, I started looking at it differently. And, you know, it just wasn't something I ever thought that I would want to do, is to go on staff at a church. But it's really been interesting to see how it's all worked out, because, you know, we're a different church to begin with, and not your traditional thing. But we, you know, it's really allowing me to explore those gifts of connecting people and helping kind of coach people through their own issues to try to decide who they are. And so it's helping me really broaden my perspective on how I'm good at relating to people and helping them maybe see things a little bit differently, and just kind of deprogram myself from work the way that it used to look like.
So when you're talking with people, I know you talked to a lot of people locally here that you're helping coach mm-hmm. through some things, and you've also done, you know, 70 something podcast interviews.
Mm-hmm.
What are some common traits you see in the people that you're talking with?
Well, there's two different. So I think the fear that we talked about earlier is definitely a common trait that we see in people who feel very stuck. I think I felt stuck for a very long time and had to start taking some action to start building some momentum. And so I think the biggest thing that a lot of people, and I struggled with this early on too, was feeling like you had to have this big master plan and you had to have it all figured out. And the one thing that I continue to hear just about everybody that I have interviewed for my podcast, none of them had it figured out. They took one little step towards something that excited them or something that brought them joy. And then they continued to take steps. And that's what I've done with my writing and podcasting. I mean, I was scared to death to start my podcast. I am not a super technical person at all. Like the interviewing people, no problem. The technical aspect scared me to death. And so that was a big comfort zone pusher for me to start that. And I think that's another thing that I see in a lot of people is that when you learn to start pushing out of your comfort zone, even if it's just a little bit at first, you'll realize that you're not going to die after you push that comfort zone, mm-hmm. and that actually you gain some confidence and you feel better about pushing it just a little bit farther the next time.
So since you've taken these steps, what have there been anything, has anything surprised you?
Oh gosh, lots of things. I mean, I think the biggest thing that surprised me when I took the leap and left my corporate job was how emotional it was, because I was in a really good place. I, you know, left very well. That's always very important to me and something that I always tell people. I think it's so important is that you leave wherever you are very well. So I, you know, it wasn't a nasty situation. I wasn't like so just excited to, you know, I didn't hate it. So I wasn't just like excited to leave, but it was very emotional. There was a little bit of a grieving process going through that. And then also oh my gosh, what did I do feeling? I have no idea. You know, this is so different. Like in my situation, my role is so different from what I was doing, that it was really a big learning curve. And so in addition to it being emotional, it just, it's also just starting over is, it's not always just the, you know, like you think about in the movies, it's not this just amazing feeling. Sometimes it's hard thinking, wow, I have a lot to learn and I don't know what I'm doing. And, you question yourself. And so I think that it was definitely a lot more emotional than I expected it to be.
So your job, you were not miserable there, were you?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. So that's interesting because a lot of people hate their jobs and can't wait to get out of there. Can't wait to leave the career. What do you think it was? I mean, couldn't you have just made it work?
Oh, absolutely. I could have been there for, you know, the next 30 years. I don't think that would have happened, but I definitely could have. So that's interesting that you bring that up, because there was a point when I first started feeling led to make a change where I went to that place of saying, this stinks, I don't like this anymore, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing, there's something else out there, and got a little negative. And then I had to adjust my own attitude and say, that's crazy. Like, this is a really good job. You're going to make the best of this where you are right now. And, you know, the one thing that I did that really helped me, because this is just kind of how I'm wired, but I, you know, had this dream of really making an impact on people and helping them. And I just realized that where I was in that position, I could do that. I could do that with my coworkers. I could be a really good friend to them and listen and help them through things they were going through. I could make a difference to the company where I was, to the leaders. I was very good at, I'm a big encourager. So I was actually very good at encouraging not only people around me, but people above me. And so I just completely changed my attitude while I was there. And that made all the difference for me, because I still knew I wanted to do something different, but being miserable and still not knowing what you're going to do when you leave was just not an option for me. And so I think that you have a choice in that. I know there are terrible jobs out there, but I also think that you can always choose whether it's you're going to let it continue to be horrible for you.
So what would you tell somebody who's working in a job that they don't hate, but they know that, you know, there's a little more in them and they don't feel like just settling, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like what kind of advice do you give somebody who's in that similar position?
Well, kind of along those lines of what I just said, the biggest thing I would say is to be awesome where you are right now. Even if you know that you want to be somewhere else, put everything into it. I mean, sometimes you can find things about the job where you are that you maybe have just overlooked because you just, you know, it was ordinary or just custom to you. You can find things to be awesome where you are. And then also just think about, you know, take those little steps. What is it, you know, really, there's lots of things out there. So there's lots of online assessments you can take. There's lots of people that you can talk to help you discover kind of what you're looking for and how you're wired and what really lights you up. But the thing I think that you need to pay attention to is exactly that, is what excites you, what lights you up, what are the things that you really want to be able to bring to the world, and then figure out a way to do that. And it's not going to be an overnight process. It may take some time. And that's where I think it's really important to have community around you who can help you walk through that and who can help you, first of all, maybe even help you identify that. Some people don't even know. They have no idea. And I would say I didn't in the beginning because it comes natural to you. You don't always understand that you're good at something that other people aren't good at.
When you left, and you know, what did you do to get to the point where you could confidently understand what your gifts were and your skills and your passions?
Well, part of that was kind of the process I was going through with, you know, my church and us kind of figuring out what a role, like we basically, they created a role for me. So a part of that was that process of going through that with them, you know, things like, emotional stability test and the DISC profile and, you know, Strengths Finder, all those kind of things that you can take online. And then also just, it was a lot of talking through with people, like, what do you see in me that maybe I don't see in myself? And what am I good at that, you know, that sticks out to you, or just having a lot of those conversations. And then a lot of kind of diving into my own stuff to say, like, okay, of these things that I do in my job, what are the things that I really like, and what am I good at, and what are those things that I want to continue to do moving forward? So it's a combination of looking at yourself and evaluating that, and using some tools to help you see things that maybe you couldn't see, as well as just talking with people in community.
How, what kind of head trash or things do you struggle with now?
Oh, in the beginning, I struggled with the always having to produce. So since I was in sales my entire career, I always had a quota. And so this is the first job where I haven't had a quota. And so I didn't really know what to do because I always felt like I wasn't doing enough, even though nobody was telling me I wasn't doing enough. So that was a big headpiece that I had to get through. Now it's more of, it just, work just looks differently. You know, I've always believed that we have, you know, we can be really productive in shorter periods of time, and that we don't have to be this traditional 9 to 5, like most organizations require us to be. So that has been a good learning for me. Like, when am I really at my best, and when can I really get a lot of work? And for me also, now it's more of, you know, when am I best to meet with people? You know, when am I going to bring my best to people? If it's the middle of the afternoon, it's typically not my best time to be meeting with people, or, you know, late at night. So it's finding that rhythm of kind of what works for you. And then also for me, a big thing has been rest. Like, I have always been so driven and so, you know, just, I wore busyness as a status symbol for a long time. And so now I really wrestle with that in my head of really learning to rest. And so this past year has been really good experience for me in that, to learn to slow down a little bit and enjoy, and not constantly having to be busy, busy, busy.
You know, that's a great point you made. I mean, how many people have we known through the years, and looking in the mirror here as well, is, you know, you think you're a better employee, or you're, you know, if you appear to be busy,
yep,
all the time.
Yep.
And it's funny, the longer the more people I talk to and the more I learn, you really get stronger by subtracting things out of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I am a really organized and productive person, so I do get things done, but I also wear myself out. And so I, when I don't get a good night's sleep, you know, I'm, some people I understand don't have to have a lot of sleep. I am one that does have to have a lot of sleep. And so I've been learning that I can't burn the candle at both ends, and it's just not good for us. I mean, mentally, physically, you know, there's so many different things that we are just putting our bodies under so much stress. And, you know, one thing, the whole reason behind me wanting to make a change in my life was to be more available to my kids and my husband and to live a long, healthy life. And so if I take those bad practices and then move it into my new position, and you know, the whole reason why I left, it's just kind of defeating the whole purpose.
Yeah, that's when I made the change from my old career to doing what I'm doing now, I certainly started to bring a few of those other bad habits in.
Yeah.
and it's important to head those things off quickly, because you know, part of the reason I made a change was so that I could have a different pace and things
right.
like that. So I thinking about the old corporate Tammy and the new Tammy now, how would each one of them define success?
Oh, that's a good question. The old corporate Tammy definitely was more numbers oriented. Now, I still was never like the, I was always more about quality and relationships. Than just strictly the numbers. But when you're in a corporate environment, sometimes you are just completely defined by your numbers. So you have to play that game. Now the Tammy is more about relationships and health, and you know, success looks different for everyone. Like for me, it's not all about striving for a certain thing, and it's not all about having to work like crazy and not enjoy life. So success to me now means more that you're being yourself and doing well at what you're doing, but also living life to the fullest.
Yeah. It's amazing how we can get caught up in comparing ourselves to other people.
Oh yeah.
When our nose is always in the corporate world, or when we're, you know, comparing houses or cars or whatever, you know, number of vacations people go on a year. But
right.
I've come to learn that, as you know, we've made a lot of changes over the last several years as well. And for me, the most important thing for me is that I know that I'm having an impact.
Yeah.
Like it fires me up. And a lot of times I get paid to help people have an impact, and a lot of times I don't.
Right.
And that, you know, financially, and that's okay, because, you know, just deep down at my core, it's a metric, I guess you could say, that resonates really well with me.
So, yeah.
So if I want to give you a minute here, just, I guess, as we start to bring this home, you know, you've got an audience of strongpreneurs that are listening right now, and take a minute and just, what part of your brain would you like to share with them? Like, what do you feel if you could just have one message that you feel that would really impact the average entrepreneur and small business owner? What would that be?
I would say, you know, the relationships and the connections that you make with people. I'm just a really good connector. I put pieces together. I put people together. And I think that as strongpreneurs and small business owners, we sometimes underestimate the connections and the relationships that we have in our life. And like you just said, it's not always, you know, you can make an impact on people, but it doesn't always have to equate to making a sale or, you know, getting something from that person. There's so many times that you can connect someone to someone else that is going to be a ripple effect that down the road will come back to you in a good way. And I think sometimes it's hard, like you said, you as an entrepreneur, it's hard to to forget that sometimes, you know, or it's hard to remember that because you are so focused at sometimes on getting your business up and running. And so I would say the importance of connections are just, it's just monumental to your business.
That's a great answer. That's, you know, because it is all about relationships. You know, I was recently at an event where, you know, Jerry Nelson, who's one of the founders of Ticketmaster, he's a super guy, and I've spent some time with him in the past, and most recently he spoke and he was talking about the two most important things in any business relationship for him for the last 40-something years has been someone's ethics and then being able to trust somebody. Or I'm sorry, attitude and ethics. And so it's just that somebody who has a great attitude, but also can I trust people?
Yeah.
It always comes back to that and those relationships and those connections. And do you say, you know, do you fulfill the obligations that you make to other people and build your reputation in a reliable way? So that's cool. Because it is about who you know, isn't it? It's about who you know and how you're how well of a relationship you have with people.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, I mean, I look back at the last few years, I've gotten to know some really great writers and author, you know, big New York Times bestseller list authors. And it's just because it's not because they're doing anything for me. It's just because I'm a fan of their work and, you know, appreciate what they do. And I've built relationships with people and not, you know, that may never do anything for me personally, but I mean, obviously other than the connection that, you know, that's kind of hardwired into me. So that makes me happy, but, you just never know how you can impact somebody through just even just a kind word or, you know, just really telling them something that you see in them, or, you know, that can really help boost their day too.
So tell us a little bit about your podcast. What's it about and what kind of people do you have on and all that?
So it's called Right Where You Are, and it is me typically interviewing people who I have seen are living differently. So people who are doing things that are not ordinary, and they're stepping out, they're starting businesses, they're starting nonprofits, they're just being extraordinary people and living life in a way that's different. And so it's been really exciting. It's been interesting to kind of watch how it's changed from the beginning. So it's been, in July, it'll be 2 years since I started that. And in the beginning, it was about trying to get some of the bigger name people who are kind of farther down the road. And I've really changed that over the last year, mainly because for me, yes, I'm always inspired by people like that. And, you know, I read their work and I think that it's great what they're doing. But to me, the people who are really having a big impact are the people who are just like you and me, who are choosing to go against kind of the system and choosing to love life and to do something to make an impact in the world that's not just about them. And so those are a lot of the people that I have on. And it's just really cool. I love hearing people's stories. I am definitely very inspired by people. I think, you know, sometimes I think, gosh, this podcast is just for me because the guest is saying something to me that I needed to hear today. Although I do hear, you know, from plenty of other people that they get things out of it too. So it's been really fun. I love talking to people. I love supporting other people and doing anything I can to help get their message out as well. So that's what's been really fun for me.
And you've done 78, I think you said?
Yeah.
78 episodes. And how have you changed since you started doing a podcast?
Well, I'm definitely more comfortable. I mean, in the beginning it was, talking to people has always been pretty easy for me, but I feel more comfortable. I also do my own episodes too, so it's not always all about that. And that's something that, you know, I'm really feeling. And as I talk with more people, especially since I've made this big shift, you know, I need to be telling more of my story too, just because, you know, you get in this mode, kind of like what you said earlier, where you feel like everybody already knows everything. And then you meet people who say, oh my gosh, I've never met anyone like you who's ever actually made a big change like that. And you inspire them, which is crazy. But I think the biggest thing that I've changed is just as part of this process, I am becoming more fully me. And I think that is reflected in how I interview people and just what I bring to the show.
That's cool. That's it's a great feeling when you start realizing that you're finding your mojo,
right,
in anything. And there have been a couple times recently where I've been in some meetings and I've been sitting there and I've offered help and I know I'm having an impact. And I remember coming home and told my wife one time, I said, you know, I'm really good at what I do.
Right.
Like it just, you know, I actually verbalized it because I was just feeling, and it wasn't meant to be this arrogant thing. It was just
right.
Like, you know, man, I look back and I go, man, I've really put in a lot of work and, you know, paid my dues in a lot of different areas of life. And I just, I'm able to see now how it comes together and benefits others.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool feeling. And I know I've seen that with you and what you're doing with your podcast and helping people and that's good stuff.
I think it's, you know, it's so interesting to me because we're always our own worst critic. And so I think that, you know, the voices in our head are the ones that are basically lying to us and telling us that nobody's going to want to hear that opinion or nobody's going to want to hear that idea. They'll think it's stupid. And then when you actually learn to kind of quiet that voice and start putting yourself out there more, you realize like, gosh, you really do have a lot to contribute and people will tell you that as well. You just had a conversation the other day with someone who was like, you know, sometimes you underestimate the equity that you have with people. And, you know, and I do, because I think that's just kind of our society. Sometimes we just want to downplay ourselves. And so it is a great feeling when you can say like, I am good at what I do and I am, you know, contributing and bringing something to what I'm doing.
Well, I have a theory and I'm not a scientist, so, but I have a theory that, that we're able to see it and others are able to look at us and, you know, the things you're doing and the impact you're having and be able to say, you know, you are really good at what you're doing or that's really helpful because we're paying attention to it every day.
Yeah.
I think we're working on ourselves, we're developing ourselves. And sadly, I personally believe that the majority of people are just kind of going through the motions.
And yeah.
It doesn't mean they're not good, passionate people working hard. It's just, I think to some degree, the average person just decides at some point just to settle.
Right.
And so their mind isn't always stretching themselves in different ways of thinking and things like that. So anyway, probably get a bunch of hate mail for that.
No, I mean, I think that's true. I think that's a great point because that's definitely something that I've been doing a lot of is working on myself. So part of this process of leaving behind who I was for so many years and starting something new required me to kind of dive a little bit deeper into me to say, you know, why do I react this way to certain things? And that's hard work. I mean, it is not easy. And I think that's why a lot of people don't do it because it's just easier to just kind of coast through life.
So Tammy, where do you want to go in the next 3 to 5 years? Where do you see Tammy headed?
Oh gosh. You know, I'm dreaming about that now. And my husband and I are kind of dreaming about what that does look like, because when you do take a step like this, you open yourself up to possibilities that you hadn't thought of before. And so I can't say that I really know. I do know that, you know, our dream is always, and my dream specifically is definitely to be, to have a location independent business and to be able to travel and, to be able to do things, you know, on our time schedule that we want. So definitely owning my own business is one of those things, whether it's coaching or writing or a combination of those things. Most likely that's what I'm going to be doing. And it's exciting. It's a fun time because, while I am doing what I love and, you know, may still be at the church for a long time, who knows? It's really great to have flexibility and the ability to kind of dream about those things and where we're going.
Yeah, because you have practiced strategic readiness. And
yeah.
So you're able to, on the drop of a hat, do what you got to do, right? So that's cool. That's such a cool term. Well, Tammy, how can people reach out to you if they want to find your podcast or your blog, or they want to maybe inquire about being a guest on your podcast or anything like that? How can our listeners get a hold of you?
Sure. Yeah. I'm always looking for great people to interview. So the podcast is called Right Where You Are. It's on iTunes and Stitcher. You can actually, the best way to find it is TammyHelfrick.com/iTunes or /Stitcher. On Twitter, I'm at Tammy Helfrick. Instagram, same thing, at Tammy Helfrick. On Facebook, it's Tammy Helfrick blog. But if you just go to TammyHelfrick.com, you'll find all those things.
Awesome. Well, I will put all that in the show notes, as well as with all the links and everything to your stuff. And Tammy, I just want to thank you for hanging out with me today. And I guarantee you that you have you've touched somebody listening, because I know what was going on inside of you is pretty common in the world. And so everybody, I want to encourage you to take action on something that you heard today. If it impacted you, does you no good if it just sits around and does nothing. Try something, throw it up against the wall and see what happens. So Tammy, thanks again for being here, and we'll talk to you all next time.
Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate it.